Welcome to Here We Are, the podcast where we talk about curiosity, fascination, and what makes us delightfully nerdy. I'm your resident nerd for the day, Joy Bork. This season is focused around the theme of your flavor of nerd, or YFON, as I abbreviated it in the episode title. Today, we are jumping back in with one of my favorite humans, Kathy. I met Kathy last year during the pandemic. We were assigned to a project group for an instructional design certificate course, and man, we hit it off. I love Kathy ever so much, and I value her perspective on the world. Kathy was a key part in helping me launch this podcast. Her voice was a major part of the first season. Here is one of my favorite Kathy soundbites from the first episode of this podcast, the Hope episode.
I've been driven by adding positive value to everyone around me, which sounds great on paper. But what if you're not feeling positive? Do you then lack value? And does that go away? And so there were times going through different life changes and things where I didn't feel like I was adding the value that I could add. And I was incredibly hard on myself for it. And I had to rewrite that a little bit. And I tried to do that with my kids by saying to them, you add value by your sheer existence. You don't have to do anything else. You make colors brighter because you're here. And at some point, you'll find your drive and your purpose and what you want to do. Because you don't want people to feel they're only as good as the last thing they've done.
God, I listen to that and I get the feels all over again. I love that statement so much. And I'm in awe with how well it sets up today's conversation. So without further ado, let's dive into Here We Are, Season 3, Episode 4, Ideas.
My name is Kathy Cordero. I am a game math dog training nerd, and all of those things connect.
I love that. Is that the flavor of nerd you want to talk about today?
Sure. Let's do it.
Where do they all intersect?
They all intersect at Wenny Weedy Weeky. I came, I saw, I conquered. So whether it's the game that you're choosing or the math, and when I say math, I don't mean math as much as I mean problem solving, because problem solving and games come together. The type of problem solving that you engage in, because people will say, oh, I'm bad at math, but what they really just haven't found is the thing that ignites who they are. And then dog training. What kind of dog do you have? Not all dogs respond the same way. Some are food motivated, some are motivated by toys, some are motivated by different things. So first you look at the Wenny, which is the I came. What are you dealing with? Who are you as a person? And then you look at the Weedy. I came, I saw. What is the world like? Right? What's the environment in which you're operating in? And then the Weeky, I conquered. How do those two come together to produce the best version?
You just put an equation to something that I have never thought could be an equation. Where did you figure this out? Was there a moment of realization when you're like, oh, look, everything aligns with this?
Raising kids. So basically, I had in my mind the playbook of what I thought I needed to do as a parent. And then I started homeschooling my kids and realized that everything I thought didn't work because I didn't take into account the kids that I had. Mm. So I had to pivot and change. And then what worked for one didn't work for the other one. So you always have to look at what do I have? And a part of it is just kind of figuring out different challenges. So for example, my entire life, I've been terrified, terrified of dogs. Mm. And then, you know, I went into the empty nest phase. I decided to adopt a really small, gentle breed of animal and got a German Shepherd mix. She looks all German Shepherd, but she's part Border Collie too. And my friends will tease me that I'm literally homeschooling this dog.
That's so fascinating.
Yeah, it's the same principle. It's working with the dog that I have. So know your breed, right? She's very protective. She's very smart. Mm. So there's certain things that she feels should be certain ways. And so to change any behavior, which is the best way to get there? Positive conditioning or negative?
Mm-hmm.
Short term, you could get results for negative, but you don't get any long term understanding. So it's been really fun going through all this dog training with her. For me, it's been great for me, because it really is. It's that old, you know, everything I ever needed to learn, I learned from a kindergartner, or whatever that saying is. I can't remember how that goes. Yeah. But it's like, I've learned so much more just learning how to deal with a dog, right? Because it kind of cuts out a lot of the complexity that you get with humans, but still gets to the core of what makes us respond and work, right?
My aunt and uncle just got a dog recently, and her name's Carly, and she's adorable, and she's brilliant. And I'm trying so hard to understand her, but yet I'm feeling the language barrier. Like, what have you discovered helps you cross that and really understand at a deeper level what's really happening?
That's a really good point too, because each animal responds different ways, right? This dog's pretty aloof. It's, you know, like a Labrador, the breed matters. And it doesn't, and I don't mean, because like I said, she's a mutt, but whatever is dominant matters.
Yeah.
So it's finding common ground, right? What's a connection? What's something that she enjoys? So is your dog a cuddler? Do they enjoy walks? Do they enjoy mental? You know, I always do a mix of things, right? So the first rules, which I love, that I heard from somebody else, not me, the first three rules of dog training are exercise, 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 right? Because then you get rid of anything that would be distracting for them. They see something, they need stimulation, that kind of thing. But then every day, it's mental enrichment. We all get bored if we're not doing something. So we do different enrichment activities, whether it's putting her food in a puzzle toy as opposed to just feeding her in a bowl. And then, of course, just mental acuity just through training, right? Yeah. She's a work dog. And if she's not working, she's not happy. So physical stimulation, mental stimulation. And then you can figure out, once you start developing those connections, then you start building the relationship. So you're connecting on a better level. You figure out what works and what doesn't. So for her, I know she doesn't like to be hugged. Most dogs hate to be hugged.
Yeah.
It messes with their personal space. I started watching tons of videos just on dog body language. So I could say, okay, when I scratch here, that obviously is something she really likes, and kind of moving that way. So yeah, it's about first making sure that these different areas are taken care of. And then you can kind of figure out the relationship part as you work through those things.
How did this work with your boys? Like, what did you notice was different about them, or what did you enjoy finding for them that you saw them blossom during?
I always kind of went back to what I kind of called finding your Venn, right? Meaning back to that individual, who am I dealing with?
Yeah.
So, and again, this, you know, it definitely goes with the dog as well. What put my kids into a state of flow? And not what puts them into a state of flow when they're older and you've got so many other life considerations to deal with, but what puts you into a state of flow when you're like 7, 8 years old? Yeah. How do you spend your time? So for my older one, I realized that he always loved problem solving and math. And that's why I got into that as well, was because of him. And games and systems and all of that. But it took me a while to kind of really define what was truly putting him into flow, because he also loved writing stories. It wasn't like he was just the math nerd.
Yeah.
And I realized, you know, what commonality all those things had was the fact that he was a world builder. Mm. He loved understanding the underlying wire structure of whatever he was looking at. Like, we would read a book and then he'd write fan fiction for that book before he even knew what fan fiction meant. Wow. Right. He was little. He'd write his own follow-on stories if he felt like the story wasn't complete enough. He wanted that world to be finished.
Mm.
And he wanted, more importantly, to be a part of the design of it. So, for example, I taught him how to play chess. and, or my husband, I should say, taught him how to play chess, and he fell in love with it and he loved chess. But then that wasn't enough. So then we learned all the variations, right? And then we learned how to play crazy chess, and we learned how to play shogi, which is, you know, the Japanese version. And we learned how to play Chinese chess and chaturanga, which is the Indian version. And they all have different rules. And then he started designing his own chess sets, and they got more and more complicated. And then he decided, okay, what's the fewest number of lines that I can draw on a piece of paper where a bishop will still look like a bishop? And he went totally the minimalist way. So it's world creator, right? That's his driving force. And that's what I mean, even with figuring out this dog, is what's this dog's driving force? And then how can I be a part of that world? Whereas my younger son, so this, my older one, could sit for hours and think and draw and solve problems and be perfectly happy in his head. My younger one processes everything through movement. His nickname was Sir Climbs a Lot. I had to pull him off. He had to be at the highest elevation in any room that he was in.
Yeah.
And, but he was also the one who noticed, who asked deeper questions about things. So for him, kind of his Venn diagram was, he was my philosopher in motion. He wanted to know about human reactions and human fallibilities and human strengths and those types of things, and understand how that worked in the fabric at large.
And what did you learn about yourself in this process?
You know, it's funny, you know, I have friends that have incredible amounts of talent. You know, I have always highly admired your talent in different areas. And I realized that I have no appreciable talent in the traditional sense. I can't sing, I can't dance, I can't play a musical instrument. But one thing I am is a phenomenal audience. A great appreciation for what others can do. And I really enjoy facilitating connection. I like bridging not only between people, whether it's as simple as being an audience to their performance, but also bridging ideas and concepts. So what puts me in the state of flow is learning different constructs. Like, you know, I love the whole designing your life, because that's part of it. That's part of figuring out who you are, and then figuring out how you can add value on a deeper level. And it doesn't have to be to an audience of millions, right, to have impact. But if you can make positive change in your daily interactions, then that's where I get super excited. I'm very task oriented, which is a feature and a flaw. But I really love to help nurture other people's abilities, more so than developing my own, always based on research, always based on understanding. Like, I've officiated some weddings, and all of the vows that I will write are based on solid relationship research. It's always that bold, and that's the math part too, bold claim, now prove it. It's one thing to say something, but do you have the data to back it up?
Ugh, these are all the things that I don't think I ever put words to about you, but I have felt about you gutturally. And I think that's probably one of the reasons why, from the get-go last year when we were both in that instructional design class, I bonded with you almost immediately. I was like, okay, this girl knows what's up. And like, you went past all of my checkpoints of safety almost immediately. And it was like, oh, okay. And there's something about you, though, that, like, I see all of this in action. Like, you don't just say that you do this stuff. Like, you actually live it. And I so deeply appreciate that on so many levels. You're such a friggin' awesome human.
I appreciate that. And I feel the same way. And I'm not for everyone. But I, as far as the whole nerd thing, I just really enjoy talking about ideas and getting other people psyched about different ideas, whether it's a new game, a new strategy, a new thing that I learned in, you know, working with a dog or whatever. It's all about trying to be a little bit better.
Last question. What do you wish people knew about ideas, or what do you wish people were able to hold?
I think we all take our own paths. So it's not necessarily me wishing something for somebody else. But as I'm getting older, I have a theme every year for myself. Like, one year it was my year of yes, and that was miserable and I hated it. So my next year was my year of no, so I could stop doing things. as a card carrying introvert, like I just was like, oh, but this year is my year of broadening my perspective. Mm. You know, I find that as I get older, I do get really set in the way things should be. So that's why I'm kind of switching that question a little bit, because sometimes what you wish somebody would know is what you wish they would be in a certain degree. And I'm trying to kind of step back from my preconceived ideas that I have developed and nurtured over the years and re-examining every single one. That's that's my goal this year. It's like, am I the jerk in this situation? Because, and that's science too, right? Like when you're the, you know, when you've got wrong information, that's an awesome thing. That means you can pivot and get closer to truth. But I'm all about crafting the old lady I want to be. So I don't want to be set in my ways and only have one perspective. So as the world is getting more complicated, I need to be able to assess greater amounts of information and kind of figure out how ideas that may be different than what I would normally choose, right? How those fit into that greater fabric.
You are so cool. Thank you for letting me interview you yet again.
Oh. It was fun. I always love talking with you.
Makes me so happy.
You make me better and you get me out of my shell. So I appreciate that.
Proud of you. So here we are. Once again, I had an absolutely delightful time hanging out with my friend Kathy. I love how she is able to bring together a plethora of concepts with the phrase Vini, Vidi, Vici. I came, I saw, I conquered. And ultimately, this breaks down to us choosing to approach the world around us with curiosity, choosing to understand those we are surrounded by, and choosing to better ourselves. Kathy has been an amazing role model for me in how to actually live this out. Today's episode is made possible by so many of my people. Thanks to Lisa for the logo, to Katie for season 3's concept clarity, and to Kathy for letting me interview you and hang out with you. Okay, I've got to know, what is one of your flavors of nerd? How does it show up in your life? If you're open to sharing about it and possibly being featured on the podcast, send me an email at herewearethepodcast@gmail.com. Feel free to join the Here We Are online community by following Here We Are on our Facebook page and Instagram. If you're looking to go one step further and financially support what I'm doing with the podcast, head on over to patreon.com, search for Here We Are the Podcast, and sign up for one of the many quirky support tiers. Until next time, don't forget that curiosity wins and the world needs more nerds. Bye.